Father, we thank you for this wonderful morning. It's so wonderful to be in thy presence, Father.
Wonderful.
I pray, Lord, that your mighty hand be upon every one of us.
Amen.
And your divine unction upon every one of us. Father, this wonderful morning, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in this place and your unction would come upon us, and particularly upon your word, Father. Pray that you minister unto us in a wonderful way. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Very much delighted to be here this morning after almost maybe many years. The last Brother Ken was in Sri Lanka was solemnized my daughter's wedding almost six years ago. And ever since that, this is the first time we are meeting after a long time. I'm very much delighted to be here. Looking forward for this, and we had a long weekend in Sri Lanka. This weekend, so we thought, you know, we'll come over here. The Lord has been ministering to us in a very special way in Sri Lanka, particularly to my family and also the church. But there are many challenges, and as particularly the church or the believers in the light of the emerging material world, and we see how many challenges that are upon each of the believers, how to manage this emerging material world and many challenges that the material world offers in the light of fastly, rapidly, environmentally changing material world with so many issues and challenges to the families and the lives of day-to-day life. So in the light of that, I've seen many brothers, many sisters are, you know, not really able to understand the way the Lord is directing. And we have been very specifically focusing on individually upon our lives. In the last, I would say, 2-3 months, I've been sharing in the church about, we know what is going to take place very clearly, some of the things, the world that is going to take place, the events that the Bible, the Lord has prophesied, the prophets have mentioned, and we know the way the world is moving. But while we're looking at that, we also see that there's not sufficient focus on individuals. We just forget about, and we try to entangle too much on the affairs of the world and go on and forget that our original commitment to the lifestyle that God expects. So we have been moving on many areas, and this particular thought that I'm going to share today is an important thing which I shared also in the church. We also now really have all my our messages also on an app. If you have an iPhone, it's you can go to Apple Store, and if you have Google, you can go to Google Store, Chandula my name, and you have an app. Anywhere in the world, you can listen to the messages. So I would like to now really go on to the message. This is an important thing which I felt that we need to share. I title it as The Root. Brothers and sisters, when you think of the root, and I think the many people in the world today also, when you have, particularly in the medical field, they want to find what is the root cause, what is the problem in that. What we see is on the surface the problem, issue, a challenge, or some crisis. But then there is a root cause for that. And that's exactly what is mentioned in the Bible from the beginning to the end. And Jesus himself brings this aspect very clearly to the believers and to the church and to his disciples very often. And I want to share some of the thoughts that God has put in my heart, so that I have shared with the church in Colombo, and which I have also communicated, and I want to share that today with you this morning. The root, and we know very clearly, it is the root that really, at the end of the day, bring forth a certain aspect that will reflect that on the surface.
right, yeah, this one. Yeah. You switch it on?
Okay.
Yeah, that's not right.
So, the root of the righteous yielded the fruit. The Proverbs 12:10. The root of the righteous yielded the fruit. So it is the root that really brings forth the fruit.
Yes.
So it is the root. So there has to be a greater focus on our lives on the root. And when I was thinking about this aspect, this important scripture comes to us. When Jesus talks about the seed. Before the root, the seed is the most important thing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know, there was an occasion, because I'm being a banker, I was invited one time by the World Bank to Washington, because I was one of the speakers on a various major important agriculture forum. But, you know, the keynote speaker did not come. Or he could make it. And then they asked me to be the keynote speaker at that forum. And it was focused on the agriculture and the theme was the cracking the nut. And then I asked the Lord, what should I say? Because I'm going to be, what I say is going to be, make a big discussion for the whole conference. And the Lord said this. And I shared this aspect and it became really the discussion of the next 3 days. And I explained to them what happens. And Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of the wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. And that's exactly the cracking of the nut.
Right.
And that's what happens here. When the seed falls to the ground, every seed has a hard cover. But if the seed is kept in a bottle or a hard surface, for ages you can keep, nothing will happen. Any seed. But if a seed goes into the soil, the chemicals and the things that are in the energy levels in the soil will break the hard cover. And the life of the seed will be surface to join with the life of the soil. The soil has energy and life.
Right.
So the nutrients of the soil would be combined with the life of the seed. And thereby, a greater than rocket science will take place, generally. What happens is, law of gravity brings everything down. But this is a hard side, hard surface. For rocket science to take place, this is the only time a rocket science takes place in a very foundational level.
Yes.
Because the life of the soil combined together with the life of the seed break the law of gravity. Instead of going down, there is a possibility of going up.
Yes.
And that's what happens. So when Jesus says, except the corn of wheat fall to the ground and die means that hard cover has to be broken.
Yes.
And when that hard cover is broken, then only the seed of life and the soil of life combine together. And that energy levels enables the very life to surface up. And in fact, I brought this aspect to a totally un-Christian, a mixture of group of people, professionals, academics. At that time I said, this is not what a farmer needs to farm understands very clearly. And I highlight a few aspects relating to the business and agriculture. For about 30 minutes, and it was really a discussion point of the whole conference. But when coming back to our lives, brothers and sisters, we are the seed. When originally God created, therefore there is life in us, but there is a hard cover. And that hard cover has to fall out of the ground. And this ground, there is so much of nutrients. There is so much of life, so much of energy. And that is combined together. And when that union takes place, then there is possibly for the next miracle to take place.
Right.
And that's why you see, brothers and sisters, here, the rooting is significantly important. The rooting is very important. This roots, the way the roots go, because it is the roots that absorb the energy and the nutrients and the strength that are in the soil. The amount of the energy that the way they absorb is going to be very important for the tree in the future. In the 2013, again a World Bank sponsored tour, I was in Israel for two weeks on a World Bank sponsored tour to understand agriculture. And they showed to us how each seed is put into a small basket, small bucket like a thing, and they put a lot of desert stones into that. The desert stones have no nutrients, but to ensure the roots spread equally and go deeply to different areas, so that depending on that, only the fruit bearing will take place. So they focus so much on the way the rooting takes place. And it is in that context, brothers and sisters, that we need to understand what Jesus mentioned about this aspect about rooting. And the seed breaking forth the hard cover, hard surface. When the hard surface is broken, and that's why Jesus says, without me you cannot do anything. If you abide in me, if my words abide in you. And that's the reason that we need to really focus a little bit more on this, the seed and the root. And our root, what does it mean to have the root properly grab the soil and energize ourselves so that we can bring forth the fruit in our life. Again, in the Romans, Paul says, if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. If the root is holy, so are the branches, so the root or fruit would be.
Yes.
And in Isaiah 5, this was the issue with Israel. This was the issue with Israel, that's why God continuously challenged them. Therefore, Isaiah 5:24 says, therefore as the fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumes the chaff, so their roots shall be rot as rottenness. Their blossoms shall go forth as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of the host, despite the word of the Holy One of Israel.
Yes.
So what happens here is that the Israel, like the seed of life, grabbing the soil of life, they were not able to get their roots, grab the word of the Lord
yes.
properly into themselves, and therefore their roots were in rottenness, and they will not be able to bring forth the fruit.
That's true.
And that's why, brothers and sisters, the word of God, from the very beginning, God created so much of emphasis in His covenant, in His word, in His spirit. And that's why in Psalms 119, it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Amen.
Forever. And therefore, if the soil is symbolically God's energy, God's word, God's power, God's spirit, and we as His seed has to bring forth that life of the word by rooting, making sure our roots grab it properly. Now, in the last book of the Bible, in the last chapter of book of Revelation, Jesus brings forth this aspect. Jesus have sent my angels to testify unto the Lord these things in the churches. And then he says, I am the root, and the offspring of day, and the bright and morning star.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, why did Jesus say, I am the root? And I'm the offspring of David. What was the significance of David? Now, David is a significant personality in the both the Old and the New Testament. There is a linkage between David into the New Testament from the Old Testament. And God himself, despite all of his shortcomings and weaknesses, God says, man of after my own heart. And we see that the way that David takes the word of God into himself, even after he committed sin, the amount of importance and the characteristic that David suffers depending on his word in his every trial, in his every challenge that he faced. Amen. And therefore, when Jesus said, I am the root and also the offspring of David, and if we were also to be as a human being, as a child of God, as a son of God or a daughter of God, we need to also question this aspect as, is Jesus he the root and the offspring of us? Is he the root? Or is he the offspring? Because at the end of the day, Jesus said that we have to come to the stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be like him. We have no option but to be like that. We have to come into that very nature, very character, very nature that the apostles had in themselves. This may be a prophetically Jesus articulated, but there is a on the surface of it, there is a very important thing that we need to understand. How is Jesus becoming our root? And also becoming the offspring? Because Jesus himself said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. We are the branches. And you cannot bear fruit without me. So you need to bring forth that the fruit, and it has to be the fruit that matches the very fruit that demonstrated by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was the express image, and we need to be that express image. Currently we are not. And we need to make sure that in every aspect that we need to demonstrate what our roots are absorbed into ourselves. That's the very reason Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now how Jesus, who was the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit? The first man is of the earth, verse 47, and the earth, the second man, is of the Lord from heaven. And as we have borne the image of the earth, we shall bear the image of the heaven. So these are fundamentally, absolutely determined statements that have been mentioned here. There are no options here. There are no negotiations here. There are no listening of standards here. It says, as we have borne the image of the earth, we shall bear the image of the heaven. This has to be reached. This has to be expressed. This has to be reflected. This is the fruit that is expected to be demonstrated in us. But it is now, again, chapter 15, verse 20, 21, 23, 1 Corinthians. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that are slept. He is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of that demarcation. For since by man came the death, man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as Adam all die, so in Christ we shall be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. So again, these statements are very clearly, determinedly articulated. Without giving any options, any room for any flexibility or change. That's why it says very clearly, every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward is that Christ at his coming. So at his coming, we are waiting, I told the church also, that we are all waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the prophecies are getting fulfilled. The world is getting corrupted and bad place. Let us look at ourselves. Where are we when it comes to the examination test that we have to pass? The fruits that we have to showcase. We have shortcomings. We have fallen short of this. And that's why it says every man in his own order cries the first fruit, but afterward there is a cry that is coming. Because in the first place it says, now the Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that are slept. I will come to that point later. But brothers and sisters, the standards are being very clearly laid where we need to reach, where we need to really fulfill. But that God has not left us alert in a desert and say, okay, you have to do everything. But see the way that God has provided us the way. Again, John 15 says, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Chapter 15, verse 1 to 3. And every branch in me beareth not fruit, taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and that it may bring forth fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I speak unto you. Verse 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear the fruit itself except ye abide in me, in the vine. So no more can ye except ye abide. Now this is important. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you, and ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. See, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Now, brothers and sisters, just think of the seed. Just think of the soil. The hard cover is broken. The life of the seed is joined with the life of the soil, fully absorbing the energies of the soil, and both combined together, now ready for something. It says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, and he shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Now, brothers and sisters, we need to question. We will be asking God a lot of things many times. We are requesting God, we are praying. But we need to find out how much of that union has taken place. That oneness has taken place. So that the proper truth, reflection of his nature and character is reflected. That's why Jesus spoke about this aspect. John chapter 6 verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, I in him. Now we sometimes share this word when it comes to Holy Communion. But you know, we need to understand a little bit more what Jesus meant by here. He said, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, ye have no life. And he says, he that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, I in him. And later down the line he says, I will raise him up at the last day. I just was thinking about this aspect, eating. The digesting process. The food passes into our stomach through the straight tube called the esophagus without any bend or twist. Afterward, the stomach digests the food more thoroughly than the chewing had done in the mouth. Then the food is carried into the liver through a thin connecting veins that act as a strainer, preventing anything caused from passing through the liver. The liver converts the food it receives into blood, which distributes all over the body through the tubes that look like water pipes and were formed specifically for this purpose.
Yes.
This is the process that takes place. First of all, when you take the food, I was reading something, when you take the food in your mouth, different food taste different. So you need to chew your food very well. And I sometimes we don't do that. When you chew the food very well, different food has different taste. And he says that when you chew the food, you have numerous organs in your whole body. And as you chew and as the taste buds are touched in the tongue, already messages go on to your organs that you are getting something to energize yourself, empower yourself. Whether your ears, whether your eyes, whether your heart, whether your lungs, whether your knees, all that, you know, get that message coming while the food is still in the tongue. The message is coming there straight away to various organs, including to your toe, every part. And that's why, brothers and sisters, sometimes you see this when you're in acupuncture, when you touch needles to different parts of your body, it alerts different organs of your body. So, when that happens, that process, then it goes to the stomach and it's further digested, and the process goes and then it goes to the liver, which converts into the blood and then sent to the heart and distributes. Now, just for the moment, this whole process takes place in our physical body. Now, when you think of that, think of this verse that Jesus mentioned. Except you eat my body, flesh, drink my blood, you have no life. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood. What does it mean? The same process when you eat something, he says, Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The word, Jesus said, the word that I have spoken. Because when you conclude this chapter, Jesus comes to a very important point, says, the word that I speak, their spirit, their life. So therefore, it is also in the aspect of the naturally as well as in the spiritually, when you take the word of God, and when you digest it into your whole system, and it energizes the whole body, soul and the spirit. John chapter 6. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, verse 57, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, and not as your father did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth this bread shall live forever. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak, they are spirit, they are life. So finally, when Jesus talks about his flesh, when he talks about his blood, he talks nothing but the word and his spirit. The word of God and the very spirit that bring forth the life of the word. And therefore, when we take the word of God into ourselves, as the soil of the energy of the soil is absorbed to the seed of life, are we getting that whole thing into ourselves? And that's exactly that God found fault with Israel. When he gave the Torah, when he gave the commandments, when he found that they have not really got the fullness of into that. And as a result of that, they were not reflecting who they are. Because Bible said they are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. And how do they become like that? Because they were slaves. They were ignorant people. They were kind of people who have nothing, no knowledge. And that kind of people, God said, I have taken you out. Make you a holy nation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. How did they become like that? It is nothing but the word that God gave to him.
Right.
And that's exactly Moses said when he came down, says, man shall not live by the Lord, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. So brothers and sisters, so it's reflected very clearly that Jesus was talking about abiding means abiding in his word. He said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. And then there is a possibility of breaking the rocket science, breaking the law of gravity, and rise up. And that's the point, brothers and sisters, in Paul again says, for in him dwelleth the fullness of Godhead bodily. in Him.
And we are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and power. We are complete in Him, in whom you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hand, putting off the body of sins or the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So it very clearly speaks to us the nature of a transformation that needs to take place in our human life and lifetime. We need to be completed. We are waiting for His coming. We need to be completed. We need to be completed in Him. Because through Him, through the circumcision that He brought to us, so that, you know, the covenant of that circumcision has to be in our flesh. Remember, God told Abraham, "My covenant has to be in your flesh." And in the same way, Jesus is our circumcision. That covenant has to be in our flesh, and it has to be showcased. It has to be reflected. It has to bring forth the fruit of that circumcision. There is no alternative to that. There is no negotiation, something less than that. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we need to understand this. Bringing forth the fruit. Focusing on John chapter 10, verse 10. Now this is a very important message that Jesus mentioned. He says, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, destroy. I come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I was telling our church and also myself, there are three things mentioned by here. Thief cometh to kill, steal, kill and destroy. There are three things mentioned. Stealing, destruction and death. But I was thinking, it is happening not outside. When somebody is steals something, we always see. When somebody is destroyed or some sort of destruction takes place, we see it. When somebody dies, we see it. But there is something happening in us already. Already there is stealing take place in my body. Inside my body there is stealing taking place. There is destruction taking place, physical body. There is death taking place. Now, physically, if you look at ourselves, we have a lot of D's. You know, sometimes when you pass exam, now we call A, but we have a lot of D's. Distinction, it's not distinction. Defect, disorders, disability, deformities, diseases, discomfort, decay, and death. All of us. Every one of ourselves. What is the root cause for that? What is the root cause for that? The root cause for that is there's stealing, there's destruction, there's death taking place. What is the root cause for that? The root cause for that is this. Going back to the origin. The root cause for that is what happened at the beginning, at the garden. The lust of the flesh, yes. Lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We all are susceptible to that. Every one of us in this room, including all of us. We face every day, day in and day out. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. We face it. Jesus faced it. From the Adam's time, everyone, every human being, every believer in the church faces, all of us. Let's face it. We face it. There is no question about it. I have faced many times, we even face it. Lust the flesh, lust the eyes, pride of life. That's the root cause. The root cause of stealing, destruction and death. And that's why Jesus said, God said at the beginning, the day you eat, you shall die. Now, brothers and sisters, there is an important scientific aspect which I need to bring here. Our human body, consisting of 100 into 100 trillion atoms, we are basically atoms. Our body consisting of atoms, we can't see atoms. So there are 100 trillion atoms in a human cell. And there are 100 trillion cells in our human body.
There are 100 trillion atoms in a single human cell. And there are 100 trillion cells in our body. And it's the cells that create molecules, the molecules, the organelles, the tissues, the organs, and the organism. Now what happens in this structure? We see the atom here. And in atom, this is atoms, molecules, cells, organs, and the body. If you look at atom, all of you may know this. In atom you have this element, you have electron, proton, neutron, and nucleus. These are the nucleus, what is the inside. Among the 100 into 100 trillion atoms in my body, there are free radicals and there are healthy atoms. What happens is there are some atoms, minus electrons. Some have 8, some have 7, some have 9, some have 5, 4. So, my atom to kind of survive, they need to have the balanced number of electrons and protons. So what happens generally, the atoms that doesn't have that required amount of electrons, they looked at the other atoms which has pluses and they try to rob it instead of sharing. Those atoms won't give it to us willingly. So there is a stealing take place basically where the smallest matter in my body, absolutely it takes place, scientifically it takes place. And that's why, brothers and sisters, as a result of this condition that is in my body, where the what we call the free radicals, missing electrons, seek to steal electrons from healthy atoms, that takes place in my body right now, right this very moment. It takes place. They steal. And as a result of next stage of stealing it, they destroy. They kept on going and destroying it when they don't give. And then finally it brings death. That's what happens to you and me. That's the reason for our decaying, defect, disorders, disabilities, deformities, diseases, and that's happening in me. Now, brothers and sisters, if that is really happening in the smallest component called atom, no wonder God made name Adam, atom, you know, because it is full of atoms. We are. But brothers and sisters, this is something that God wants to change. In John chapter 14, verse 15, 16, 17 says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I pray the Father that he will send even another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, and neither knoweth him. For he dwelleth with you, he shall be in you. Jesus was talking to disciples while he was with them. He said, he dwelleth with you, referring to him. He was referring to Comforter as he. He was referring to the Spirit as he. He said, the Spirit of God I will send in my name. Father will send in my name. Referring to himself, he said, dwelleth with you, he shall be in you. Now, we need to understand this because it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak, their spirit, their life. And that's again 14:26 says, the Comforter which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I want to bring another aspect here. Probably you have heard about this.
Yes.
Nanorobots. It's already taking place in Israel. Saving your life thanks to this kind of medical nanorobots. They say already in Israel this is now in testing. You don't have to go to a surgery. You have any problem, maybe cancer, maybe a heart problem, you just go to medical nano laboratory, and this injection, this one will have trillions of nanorobots in that. And they will inject those nanorobots into you. And they will go and repair everything within a matter of a couple of minutes. If there is cancer cell, they will destroy in a moment. And if there are kind of all that still possible, and in 5 minutes time you walk out, no surgery, no hospital, and you walk out perfectly. And they also say that our bone structure has so much of spaces. As we age, the spaces get enlarged. And that's why when we fall, then there are ruptures. They say that it is possible in future, these nanorobots, medical nanorobots, they get into your body and they fill those spaces with the powerful various material into your body. Then you go to a 24-story high-rise building, jump, and then you walk as nothing has happened. It's what they say, medically possible by nanotechnology. But brothers and sisters, do you know that God gave this before 2000 years ago?
Yes.
Jesus said, when he rose from the dead, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And before that, the Bible says he descended before he ascended. And he went right down to release the captives. And the Bible says when Jesus gave up the ghost, the graves opened, the Old Testament saints walked out in their graves. That's what the Bible says. Now how would that possible? How would a rocket science be possible? How would we dead saints to get up? Because the efficacy of the shed blood of Jesus Christ was applied on them. Including Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, everyone who was in that. Before he had energy and the power was given to them and they were released. And then Jesus said, all power, not small power, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And tarry till you are endured with this power. Endure with this power. And he said, you shall receive this power when the Holy Ghost is come. You know, brothers and sisters, Peter walked into the temple. There was a crippled man. He probably would have a lot of spaces in his bone structure. And he said, silver and gold have I none, such as I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ. What happens? Maybe trillions of nanorobots would have got into his knees. Before, you know, trillions of medical nanorobots would have got into his knees. That's how he got up. Medically. Proof. Brothers and sisters, that's given to us and we know that. The root, the spirit and the word. And that's why Jesus said all power is given unto me. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, what the Holy Spirit brought? He brought the word. Nothing but the word. What did they speak? They speak in different language, the word. They spoke the word. They spoke the message. They spoke the revelation. They spoke everything. What the hearts of the children to become, after the fathers to become hearts of children. And that's what they bought. And therefore, brothers and sisters, that's the very reason Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, when you are endured with power, when you are endured with the word of God, when the word that Jesus speaks, they are spirit, they are life, and when that firmly takes root in ourselves, it energizes every part of our whole body, our organs, every aspect of our fleshly life is energized so that we live victoriously. We become overcomers. And that's why each church age there are overcomers. Overcomers through what? Through the word of God. There are challenges for us in this world. There are many challenges, many enormous challenges that we face in this material, this political, this cultural, this economical world as a church. But the only way that we can overcome that is to ensuring the energy of the word of God is properly absorbed into our whole being. Our eyes, our ears, our heart, our whole energy levels is absorbed. And to break the rocket science, rise up against all those challenges. Amen. And that's exactly Jesus did. That's how he did. He faced the challenges on that. He said, it is written, it was in him. When Satan came and said, okay, make your stones and make them bread, he said, it is written. What was written? It's already written in the word of God. He referred to that. And it was in him. The problem with us is that when we face these challenges, it is not there in us. And we fail, we fall, we are susceptible to that, we kind of falter. And then we have to get up again. Because the amount of the word of God that is absorbed into me reflect the amount of overcoming strength that we have and the fruit bearing status that we demonstrate. I'm not really creating a new thing, but I'm putting the scripture in rightful context. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood.
Yes.
Right? So then the question is, where is what is the life of the blood? Life of the blood has to be in the word. Life of the word has to be in the spirit. Life of the spirit has to be in the name. The word that I speak, their spirit and their life. Now that's why Jesus said, without shedding of the blood, there is no remission. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever you do in deed or word, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. And they received the Holy Spirit after the remission of their sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, brothers and sisters, if you really originally look at when God created us in His image, in His likeness. When God gave the breath of life and He became a living soul, before God cursed Him and said, you will die because of you letting yourself to be corrupted. Otherwise, that if our whole system works perfectly, like a natural system, when we eat something, finally it converts to the blood and the blood is distributed to all parts of your body. In the same way, spiritually, when you take the word of God, and the word of God has to go into every part of my being, the fabric of my being. Into every 100 into 100 trillion atoms have to go and absorb this. This is what I say. What does the word of God contain? The word of God contains, at the end of the day, two things. What Jesus mentioned. Jesus said, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your power, with all your mind. And the second, the love your neighbor as yourself. Now, are we fulfilling this right now? No, we have challenges here. Every one of us. I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about the church. I'm talking of you and me. We all have challenges in fulfilling this, what Jesus mentioned. Are we loving the Lord with all my heart, with all your soul, with all your power, all your mind? If somebody can, I can't still. We are not able to do that fully. This is the word of God. Jesus said at the end of the day, it's there. It's this. And if this is fulfilled, first one, the second one automatically possible. Because we are not loving our neighbor as ourselves. Also. We are not fulfilling that as well. What is the problem with the atom? Free radicals minus electrons. So what do? They have to lust it. They steal it. They rob it. And if they don't give it, they destroy it.
Right.
And the death comes. So every single atom, if I have 100 trillion atoms, have to integrate into this. Every single atom of my body have to have the DNA of this. DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ. The DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ is this. He demonstrated that. Just imagine every single atom of my body, instead of, particularly the free radical atom, instead of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes and the pride of life, which triggers the stealing, destruction and death. If every single of my atom has this nature, you would see atoms sharing and bonding together. When two atoms bond together, a stronger molecule is created. Molecule is created by two atoms bonding together. When atoms torn apart, molecule torn apart by two atoms moving again. So when what happens if two atoms join together, molecule, strong molecular structure is created. A strong molecular structure means strong cells. Strong cells means strong tissues. Strong tissues means strong organs. Is it possible to happen in our flesh? Jesus had demonstrated that. Apostles have demonstrated that. It is physically healing is possible. But the spiritually test take place. As your soul prospers, the Bible says. As your soul prospers, we shall be in good health and prosperous as our soul prospers. If the soul is not prospering properly, you can have, like charismatics have, all healing services, prosperity meetings and all that is. But their soul is not prospering. They are not with the word of God. They are not committed to the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, this is the DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the DNA of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if this DNA is installed into my atomic structure, all the atoms, all the 100 into 100 trillion atoms, and then when the word is coming to me, it brings forth that nourishment that is needed for me, for my body, soul and the spirit. When that takes place, because at the end of the day, there are two simple challenges for us. What I have spoken all this while, there are two things. One is we have this side, a root cause, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, which creates stealing, robbery, destruction and death. On this side, there is life of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that blood was possible to release the captives from the very bottom of the earth, and if he says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, not small power, not some power, all power. And he said, tarry till you are endured with that power. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit that bring forth the word of God, this DNA, into my system. Yes. Then there is a possibility of me to bring forth the fruit, which is the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Which is the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which is the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which we are suitable then to be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he see us like him. Then he see us that we are completed in him. Otherwise we are not completed. We have faults, we have errors, we have shortcomings. We have to be completed in him. And to be completed, he has given us. He has not let us in a desert and said, okay, do anything what you want. No. He said, I will send you a comforter. I will send you the spirit of truth. I will teach you everything. I will bring forth everything to life. I will empower you. And that was showcased and testified and demonstrated by the apostles. Apostle Peter, when he told, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up. That was the very beginning. Even before Israel scientists find nanorobots, God gave it to Apostle Peter and Paul and everyone. They were operating that without knowing that it is nanorobots. It is the very Spirit of God. It is the very Word of God. It is the very mind of God. It is the very design of God. From the very beginning, when God created. And that's what he wants to see. He wants to see that absolute perfection demonstrated in us. And it is the word of God that can demonstrate that. And God has given to us. He has given to us enormously. He has not given to us portion by portion. He has not given to us in small baskets or buckets. He has opened the windows of heaven and he poured it to us. He fulfilled that. And he had done every stage, everything that had been fulfilled.
in our church age, in the seventh church age. He has sent the prophet. He has turned the hearts of the children back to the fathers. What the fathers said? They had the nanotechnology. They had the word of God. They had the word of life. They had the spirit of God. They had the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had that. And he says, you have turned the hearts of the children back to the fathers. The power of the fathers. Power of the church. Power of the apostles.
And that's what's possible, brothers and sisters. We need to make sure that we have the DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ is blood. Because, you remember, symbolically, when Israel was slaves, when death angel passed, he saw the blood. And he passed. So he need to see our blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Nobody collected in containers the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
When he died. But blood is there for us now. How? He sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sent what? Sent the Word of God. The Word of God sent so that life of our flesh it becomes divine order. Divine design to the measure and the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. To measure and the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we need to make sure that our lives become the measure and the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how would we do? Nobody has the. It is only the Word that will know the stature and the measure. That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. And there is a possibility at that moment, the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, like that tree coming out from the heart surface and demonstrating it's taking place.
Amen.
That's the challenge, brothers and sisters. We need to have the DNA. I was doing last Sunday a study about the aspect of the love and fear of God. The importance of study and observance. A lot of people study the Word of God, read the Word of God. But the problem is observance. How to observe it. How to fulfill it. How to make it part of you. How to make, you know, that you do it. And that's what happens to many of us. And to all the church. So therefore there is not, as Brother Gang said, there is not enough time left for us. There is not enough time. Time is slipping fast away. God is fulfilling everything what it need to be fulfilled as far as the world is concerned. As far as the whole universe is concerned. And while that is being fulfilled, there's ownership in your side and my side to ensure that we get rid of the free radicals.
Yes.
We get rid of the stealing and destruction and death taking place. So the life of the Lord Jesus Christ can surge in us. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Do we have that abundant life, overflowing life of the Lord Jesus Christ all the time in us? That's the challenge. Let's face it. We all have this challenge. We are living in a very commercialized, very economically charged world. I've been thick and thin off because I'm in the commercial activities in the world. There are so many challenges for us. To overcome lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Continuously. And then, if you don't overcome, we encourage a lot of stealing to take place. Destruction to take place. But you know, you don't realize the amount of power that God has vested in you and me. We are a peculiar people. God has sent the Holy Spirit to us. Not to everybody else. People can't understand it. Denominations don't understand it. They don't know the name. They don't know how to get it. But you and I have been endowed with it. We have been entrusted with it. We have been empowered with it. And what have we done with it? What have we done with the word so powerfully entrusted to us so that we reflect this? It's a difficult task. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, is it possible to love your neighbor as yourself? Think about yourself. Think about your family. Think about your wife and children. Do it possible to love your enemy, love your neighbors like that? That's the reality that need to come.
And that will be only possible when you fulfill that. We have shortcomings on the first one. Because we are not allowing the word of God to fully take control of our whole being. Our whole structure, our fabric of our being. Because it's important for us to understand we are one whole human being. Just think of in small terms, micro terms, microbiology, nanotechnology. That's what the world is today. Think about 100 into 100 trillion atoms in your body. Think about their status. They have the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And they need to be absorbed into the DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ has to be integrated into every single atom of my body so that every single atom of my body would have this status, this DNA.
Yes.
And when that happens, brothers and sisters, the atoms are not robbed from each other. They will be caring, they will be sharing, and they will be creating a stronger molecular structure, physically, spiritually, mentally, in the body, soul and the spirit. Because the Bible says this mortal body has to put on immortality. This corruption has to put on incorruption, didn't the Bible say? Yes, the Bible says that. If we are going to be lifted up, if we are going to meet the Lord in the air, this mortal body has to be put on immortality. This corruption has to put on incorruption. How will that possible? How will it be possible for us to be lifted up, raised up, when the whole DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ totally integrated into the... And that's what happened to the apostles. And that's what Jesus says. The Old Testament, they that are slept, they had the very character fully absorbed into Him. That's possible. That made possible for them to rise from the dead, open their graves and walk into new city. That's what made possible. And it has been made possible in our time, in our age. That's what the apostles articulated. So brothers and sisters, think for a moment. The root of righteousness yieldeth the fruit. We are that. We are the seed of God. We are the seed of God. Jesus spoke simple things. He spoke about the seed. The seed is the word of God. And when the seed, the word of God, gets into us, we bring forth the fruit. And when we bring forth the fruit, we have the nature and the character of God. And it is possible for us to be lifted up and break the law of gravity, which is going to take place very soon when the Lord comes. Let's pray. As we spent a few moments before, I hand over to Brother Gang. Brothers and sisters, what is the root cause for why we are still not able to be completed in Him? What is the root cause for us not getting that completion? We have challenges. We have a number of issues as a church, as believers, as individuals, as fathers, as mothers, as brothers and sisters, as people. We have so many challenges. In the midst of all those challenges, what is the root cause that we are still not there, what God wants us to be? Think about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ. DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ is demonstrated very clearly by Jesus Himself. He loved the Lord with all His heart, with all His mind, with all, and He loved His neighbor as Himself. That was demonstrated when He went to the cross. When He shed the blood, He demonstrated that. And we have to be like that. We have to be. There is no other option. There is nothing to be negotiated on that.
We have to be completed in Him. The fivefold ministry is given to us to bring all of us to the stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very clearly stated. And despite all that, why we are not completed? Why we are in this stage, why where we are? How important is His Word, the Spirit of God that bring forth His Word? You know, brothers and sisters, you and I don't realize that there is amount of power that God has given to us by His Spirit. It is greater than the nanoscientists that will bring medical nanorobots. It is greater than that. And that's why Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Tarry till you are endured with power. Are you endured with this power? Is the Word of God abiding in you? He said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Then you are ready for next stage. Oh, ask what you will. What God will. Because what you will be what God will. Father, we are thankful to you.
Hallelujah.
This wonderful morning, Father. Continue to minister unto us, Lord. And we know, Lord, that your word, Father, will not return to you void, Father. It will go deep into the hearts of every one of us. It cut us on the bone and the marrow and discern of the thoughts and the intentions of our heart, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you begin to continue to minister to every one of us. And I ask you to bless this wonderful fellowship, Lord. I pray for every brother and sister here, Lord. So pray for Brother Kang and his worldwide ministry and his apostolic ministry. His wonderful prophetic revelation. And I pray that you bless him, Lord, so that we would have the benefit of his ministry continuously to this world, Father. We commit every one of us to your care in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Let me share something here. Drawing touch and shadow, drawing example from natural things in life. Because after all, what we see around us, we also see that in the spiritual world. And truly, you know, the world has become very unhealthy because of what took place back in the Garden of Eden. And because of the sin, and we can see that death that fall upon all men, and people start dying, and then there is all that intermarriage that causes all that serpentine nature to be in a human body and cells start to break down and so on and so forth, and the human mind react differently to one another. Now you talk about free radical. It's not just about the food sometimes we eat that is bad for us, but the free radical gets into our body in the environment itself, the air that we breathe, the water that we drink as well, you know. And true enough, it's a very good illustration to see that the free radical comes to steal, to destroy, and to kill. You know? And with that, we also see that in our spiritual life, now though we are physical, we have all this free radical attacking the body, but we are not just a physical man. We are spiritual men. We're supposed to be spiritual people. And we know that the Bible says there's already war in heaven, and here we have in this first heaven, the spirits are fighting. You know, the angel of the Lord, you know, are fighting for us and as well as for Israel and against what Satan is holding, coming against the people of God. And we realize how it affects us. And you know how the devil used the things of the world to affect us spiritually. And you use all those free radicals in the world, not the things that you breathe in or what, but all those senses that we have. How the devil can use those senses, the carnal mind, all these things, you know, what we see, you know, we are affected by these things. You know, and two simple principles that Jesus Christ gave. You know, love the Lord with all the heart, the mind, the soul, the spirit, and the body, and then, secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. And I think that is one of the things that, you know, Christians fail in many ways. Many Christians fail. You know why the Christians fail mean, we don't talk about the love your neighbor as yourself first. Talk about whether how much you love the Lord. Because if you cannot love the Lord with all your senses, your mind, your body, your spirit, how can you love other people? It is because of that issue we don't love God. You say, yeah, we love God, but the Lord demands more than just that you love the Lord. You see, because the carnality of our mind, you know, we always think about ourselves. We are very egoistic people. It's always ourselves first. You understand what I'm talking about? That is true. You see. And we need, not just because of what the government was telling the citizen to do. Be courteous, right? Give up your seat to the elderly and things like that, right? You know, it is of course a social thing, a courtesy. But as a Christian, we must think that I'm a Christian. What am I supposed to do? You know. So if we can really love the Lord with all mind, soul, spirit and body, then I believe we can begin to really love others as ourselves. Really do. You know, how many of you have read in the paper 2 days ago? On Friday, I think it was. A little article on the bottom of a page by a journalist. I can't remember her name, but the headline, the small headline says about Stephen Hawking. He said that Stephen Hawking said we are living in the most dangerous time in this most dangerous planet of the earth. And if you Google it on the internet, he said this about a week ago. And the article, some article, different journal wrote about it, you know what he said. And they said that his mind is no longer focused on scientific things. You know, he's a scientist. He's a great mind, very intellectual. You know, but now he seems to be focused on what's going to happen in this earth. About the environment, about the issue that people face. You know. And I believe that it's very true. They were living in the most dangerous planet in this most dangerous time. It's a very dangerous time for us and for the people of this earth. And we know we have seen it. In fact, it escalated so fast in the last 5 years. You know. And look at the issue today that faces America, that faces the world, that faces Europe, China, even here in this, you know, region of ASEAN. Things are happening now. You know. So what do you think is going to happen in the next year or two? What do you think is going to happen next year? We are living in the most dangerous time. And truly, we need the spirit of life, this word of God, to endure us with power. That's what Jesus told the disciples. Wait and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endured with power from on high. Without that, you cannot face the world. You cannot go out there and minister the word. You have to have this power that get you to look at yourself, who you are, and when you realize who you are, and you call upon the name of the Lord, you give your life to the Lord, you look to Him and love Him with all your heart, your mind, your spirit, and your body. And that's, you know, we are waiting for that moment of time when agape becomes very real. Because right now, we are just a little below agape. We are in the brotherly kindness. We are in filial. You know? And we are getting this agape word of God, this love from God, which infuses us more and more until agape becomes a reality. That's the capstone. That's the real capstone. How many of us can say that we really love our neighbor? How many of us can really say that? You know. You see. Right? I mean, there's always friction between people. But I thank God that with what He has done for me and for you, I think we can examine in the moment of time when things start to stir up within us, that radicals start to deal with us inside our spirit, not our body. You know what Satan is trying to use all this radical to come against us. Think for a moment. You don't have to go to Israel to get a nano injection, you know, nano robot. But for the moment when we are faced with that warfare, we have to just momentarily just meditate for a while, pause and stop in our track and just let the Lord come in and fill us with a, you know, real energy to fight against the radical. And this is the energy of His Word. Amen?
Amen.